This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Just a few weeks ago, the Bush administration's command of events seemed unsurpassed. The president was celebrated for having rid Iraq of Saddam Hussein. He signed a tax cut bill that included his full dividend tax cut. And he won a joint commitment to peace from both Israel and a new Palestinian prime minister. But some of the administration's achievements are now in question. While the president was overseas, the Senate reexamined whether the tax cut did enough to help the working poor. Senators then passed a bill to expand the child tax credit, legislation that split Republican lawmakers. Several Democrats and others are beginning to question why U.S. forces have so far found no actual weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and violence has broken out all over again in the Middle East between suicide bombings and targeted assassinations. We're joined here in the studio by William Kristol, editor and publisher of the Weekly Standard. Mr. Kristol, welcome back.
Thank you, Scott.
And Harold Meyerson, editor-at-large of the American Prospect. Thanks very much for being with us.
It's a pleasure.
Let me begin, if I could, Mr. Kristol, then Mr. Meyerson. What are we learning from the surge of violence in the Middle East over the past week? Same old lesson all over again?
Yeah, peace will be tough. And I think what we're mostly learning is that there's a terrorist group, a powerful one, Hamas, that not only wants to destroy Israel and kill Israelis and Jews, but is deeply hostile to the peace process. And I think we're having a very early test of whether the prime minister of the Palestinian Authority, Abu Mazen, can suppress Hamas, or if he can't, whether Israel can do so, and then the peace process can move ahead. So I think the president and the whole process are being tested a little earlier than they would have hoped, but this test was going to come eventually.
Mr. Myers.
I would add to what Bill Kristol has said, we're also getting the same conduct from the Sharon government. And what was new over the last really pretty calamitous week in the Middle East was the fact that the Bush administration quite pointedly scolded the Sharon government for its attack upon a Hamas leader that, in their view, and I think certainly in my view too, contributed to the rapid downhill decline of the last week. The Sharon policy, which I don't think has ever been all that coherent if you assume that he does favor the establishment of a Palestinian state, is nonetheless to single out members of Hamas and other groups, leaders, for assassination. And historically, this just keeps the cycle of violence going, and the Bush administration basically said so this week.
Let's turn now to Iraq. Is it too early for this debate over whether to ask why the U.S. And United Kingdom forces haven't found any weapons of mass destruction?
No. I mean, I don't think it's going to fundamentally change most people's judgment about the war, but it's certainly a black eye for the administration. It's a black eye for those of us who were hawks insofar as this was part of our argument for the urgency of the war. I don't think it fundamentally changes the case for or against the war, but my view as a hawk, frankly, is that the administration should be candid about this, and if we were wrong about the extent of what Saddam had, we should say that we were wrong and find out why the intelligence was bad.
Mr. Meyerson, let me set you up with something that National Review observes this week.
Sure.
National Review says that it's difficult for this president to go out around the world and argue in behalf of the foreign policy initiatives he wants to undertake if there was this kind of intelligence failure on Iraq.
Absolutely. I mean, Bill had many different arguments for why we should go into Iraq. The administration, the closer and closer it came to the war, had won. It was the weapons of mass destruction and the Iraqi threat. And there is a huge price to pay internationally if the rest of the world is looking at this and saying, okay, what international threat? Did you mislead us all? And I think this poses a major problem for the administration, and I wouldn't dismiss the problem that it poses for them at home politically. Some recent Gallup polling shows that while a majority of the American public doesn't seem highly vexed by this, there's 40% of the American public that is troubled by this. And I think this could become a problem, particularly if Iraq turns into a quagmire for us. And then how we got there in the first place, I think, becomes more of an issue.
For Bush, this is now, you know, in for a dime, in for a dollar. The core of his vision of the Middle East depended on removing Saddam and making Iraq a workable, decent, non-theocratic, non-totally thuggish regime that can then start to reshape, at least as a model, the neighboring countries. So I think that, in a way, the Democrats don't have to say anything one way or another. Just as if you say in October 2004, let's judge Bush's foreign policy, one thing on the list will be, what is the actual state of play in Iraq?
What would you recommend the administration do, if you were in the business of giving them advice, Mr. Meyerson, to regain the kind of sense of command it had a few weeks ago?
Well, the things that have gotten out of control are things that you could have predicted, except for the tax cut, would have gotten out of control. I mean, a number of us said from the start that Iraq was going to be a bloody mess afterwards, that the issue was not whether we could have a military victory over Saddam's army, but what we would encounter from the next day forth. And that's a huge problem. I mean, I think the fact that Bill acknowledges that this could be a real problem in the 2004 election suggests that lots of people who don't agree with me understand that Iraq at this point is a very difficult problem, as is the Middle East. I mean, the administration has to have much more of a multilateralist perspective in dealing both with the aftermath in Iraq and in what may be coming down the line in the Middle East, because we don't have the image now that enables us to do these things unilaterally.
Mr. Crystal.
I talked to a couple of people from the administration this week, and I was struck that they're basically pretty confident. Now, maybe they're wrong, but their view of things is no one's going to blame this president for taking a serious shot at a peace process. Iraq, he's going to try as hard as he can to make it work, and no one has really that much in the way of concrete suggestions to do anything different from what Bremer is doing over there. The tax cuts are going to help get the economy going again, and short, medium term, he might have a pretty good economy 6 or 12 months from now. And the one thing we haven't mentioned on this show is Medicare reform, where partly by abandoning his conservative plans to partially privatize the program, it looks to me that the odds are that 3 or 4 or 5 months from now, the President of the United States, the Republican President of the United States, is going to sign a prescription drug benefit with Ted Kennedy and Tom Daschle standing behind him in the Rose Garden. So from their point of view, just speaking politically, they feel pretty good.
I think Bill is right. This is going to be a bipartisan ceremony, and it's something that the president can point to. And the Democrats, in many ways, are left looking at the economy and mumbling, how bad is this going to be, and can we cover ourselves in national security and exploit the economic issue in 2004?
Gentlemen, thanks both very much.
Thanks.
Harold Meyerson, editor-at-large of the American Prospect.
Thank you.
And William Crystal, editor and publisher of the Weekly Standard.
Thank you.